Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Femi Okeh on The Takeaway. So, question for all of you. Is it a sign of a vibrant, robust, democratic set of impulses in Iran, or more of a game of chicken between two constituencies disputing the outcome of last week's election? We go live to Tehran. Supporters of candidate Mir Hossein Mousavi called once again for a rally to go ahead 2 hours from now, despite the authorities imposing a ban on the opposition gatherings. It would be the third day of protest, and international news organizations are operating under restrictions if they are even still reporting from Iran. Roger Cohen joins us, columnist at The New York Times, our partner. He is in Tehran. Roger, first of all, what restrictions do you and your colleagues at The Times have about reporting what's going on in the streets of Tehran today?
It's getting increasingly difficult to report, John, in that the Ministry of Information has told correspondents here not to go out in the streets, warning them that they may be targets of the besieged, the militia here, generally trying to instill fear so that first-hand witnesses to what's going on become fewer and fewer. They're not renewing press passes. They're not renewing visas. Basically, they want to shut this down as much as possible so that things like the huge and deeply moving demonstration a couple of days ago with perhaps a million people are no longer witnessed firsthand.
Is there a way of characterizing how the Mousavi demonstrations are being organized versus how the Ahmadinejad supporters are being organized, or are they mostly the same mechanisms?
No, they're totally different. The Ahmadinejad rallies are orchestrated by the regime and facilitated by the police, including the very menacing riot police that are out in the street. I've seen them clearing the way for the Ahmadinejad supporters, who often come on motor scooters. The streets are cleared for them. Filming is encouraged, at least by the national media here. And very often the demonstrators are bussed in, or they come from ministries, state-owned enterprises. It's very much an organized thing. On the contrary, the Mousavi demonstrations require a great deal of ingenuity in order to be organized, in that text messaging has been shut down, cell phones are only working intermittently, and one of the principal means of communication is word of mouth. Other than that, of course, Twitter is being used, but it's not easy to organize these things, and the fact that you get perhaps a million people in the street with all the obstacles I've just described is one measure of the degree of anger and indignation that 4 or 5 days after the election still prevail here.
Well, you make a great point. I want to talk about the word-of-mouth network in a moment. I mean, as we both know, in Tehran, nobody in Iran ever hesitates about telling your opinion strongly, telling you their opinion about whatever is going on. I imagine even with these restrictions, it's pretty easy among a network of friends to take the pulse of how people are viewing this. Is this a tense situation? Are people fearful, or are they feeling as though they're making progress and that their voices are being heard?
Well, John, it's more than tense. It's volatile and it's violent at times. There have been people shot. There have been people stabbed, including a cameraman who was stabbed last night. What happened in the huge demonstration I described, which was one of the more remarkable events I've witnessed in what is, alas, now a rather long journalistic career, is that when you get to numbers like that, fear begins to evaporate, because while a repressive state can mow down dozens, perhaps hundreds of people, it cannot mow down hundreds of thousands of people, and that's what happened a couple of days ago. But this has been a very, very harsh clampdown, and the fact that this clampdown followed what was supposedly a victory by a very wide margin, indeed with two-thirds of the vote, by President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, just makes that reaction all the stranger. If you're going to give any credibility whatsoever to that number, why, with two-thirds of the country behind you, would you immediately respond to that, not with celebration, but with a massive crackdown? And this, of course, has made most Iranians feel even more humiliated. They were encouraged to go out and vote. They did in vast numbers. They did all around the world. There were lines for the first time outside Iranian consulates and embassies from Europe to the United States. And this looked like the freest election Iran has held since its revolution 30 years ago. Then suddenly everybody was made to feel they'd been puppets in some immense game. So you can measure from that the degree of fury that this has provoked.
Roger, I want to rely now on your, and we're so grateful to have you this morning, your experience in places around the world. You're probably not monitoring the coverage here in the United States, but you're hearing a lot of very loose use of international metaphors in describing what's going on the streets of Tehran. Is Mousavi, for instance, having a Boris Yeltsin moment, staring down the regime in Russia? Is this a Tiananmen Square kind of scenario that we're seeing unfolding in Tehran? Would you embrace any such metaphor, or would you reject them all at this point?
I think we're on the brink here. It's on a razor's edge. It's one of those moments where things could shift or this could evaporate. Of course, Iran has been here before in 99 with the student protests, in 2003 again, but never with this breadth of opposition and never with this degree of intensity. I think a crucial question going forward will be, can Amir Hussein Mousavi, the opposition reformist candidate, can he lead? Is he in a position to lead? This is a movement that requires a leader. He did appear a couple of days ago. But, of course, former President Khatami, Mohammad Khatami, who was in charge at the time of the other protests I just mentioned, he retreated at the breach. Now, what will Mousavi do? But, yes, I think those kinds of comparisons are tenable because you have a massive peaceful resistance movement to what is seen as a fraudulent election. And while the state still has the monopoly of power, of weaponry, the spiritual force, if you want to call it that, is on the other side. And where that comes out is anybody's guess. You'd have to say that the state, which has the means of repression, probably still has to be the favorite to win out.
But well, it's almost irresistible.
It's very delicately poised right now.
It's almost irresistible to compare, to draw the line from Khatami to Gorbachev and Mousavi to Yeltsin, if you say that some of these comparisons are tenable. A final question before we go.
Yeah.
What can the government do in unfolding this recount or in evaluating and telling people that they're investigating fraud to, in any sense, reassure people? Or is the genie out of the bottle at this point?
Well, I don't think that the Guardian Council, which is doing this recount, is really a credible body for such a task. It's basically stuffed with Ahmadinejad supporters. Indeed, it's a 12-member body, 6 lawyers, 6 clerics, and one of the lawyers is also Ahmadinejad's government spokesman. So I don't think people really have any belief that out of this recount will come some different outcome. The issue is a different one, and that is, can Mousavi, through the huge numbers of people on the street, somehow force an annulment of the election, which is what he is asking for? And will the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, at some point judge that Ahmadinejad, rather than being a boost to him, has in fact become a liability? Because Khamenei has it in his power to reverse this and to take the country to a new election. Whether he will do so is an open question as we speak.
And presumably that may be the strategy for opposition leader Mousavi, who is calling for a mass rally to be held within the next couple of hours. I mean, I don't want you to disclose any details about your circumstances, Mr. Cohen, but I suspect as far as your visa is concerned, the clock is ticking for how long you can remain, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm legally in the country. I have a visa, and as long as I have a visa, I plan to try to do what I can do. A lot of my colleagues have left because their visas expired, and as I said, they're not being renewed. Obviously, the situation is increasingly delicate in terms of the ways in which one can work, but there are always means to work, and obviously I think like all my colleagues feel that this is a huge moment.
Right.
This is a very critical, pivotal moment, not only for Iran, also for the world.
And Roger Cohen, a columnist at the New York Times and the International Herald Tribune, is in the middle of it. Thanks for joining us live from Tehran, Iran. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, John. Thank you.